News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. Let's have a listen to some of the top stories at this time. No decision was taken on Thursday on extending Delhi's odd even road rationing scheme. The anti-pollution measure kicked in on November 4 and is scheduled to end today if not extended by the Delhi government. A final decision about extending the odd-even rule could be taken on Friday. Depending on the situation of air pollution and outcome of a hearing pertaining to the scheme in the Supreme Court, a Delhi government functionary said. Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal had earlier said the odd-even restrictions could be extended if required. Till Thursday, a total of 4,309 challans were issued against violators of the scheme, officials said. According to government data, 475 challans were issued by the teams of traffic police, transport and revenue departments from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. when the restrictions were in force on Thursday. The violators of odd-even rules are slapped with a fine of Rs. 4,000. A total of 532 violators of odd-even rules were challaned on the first day of the scheme on November 4. The highest number of challans, 709, were issued on November 6. Under the rule, non-transport vehicles having odd and even last digits of registration number ply on odd and even dates respectively. The Delhi government has claimed a high percentage of compliance of the scheme by motorists in the city. Deputy Chief Minister Manish Sisodia has said people were religiously following the odd-even rule. The Delhi government, blaming crop stubble burning in neighbouring Punjab and Haryana as the reason behind poor air quality in the national capital, has claimed that the odd-even scheme is one of the steps responsible for respite from the crisis. In matters of religion and religious practices, courts must tread with caution. This is the inherent message of the majority judgment by the Supreme Court in the Sabarimala case on Thursday, as it accepted that its own judgment on women's entry may need a relook. Authored by Chief Justice of India Ranjan Gogoi, the majority view expanded the scope of the present case by bringing into its ambit issues relating to Muslim women's entry in mosques, Parsi women's entry in fire temples, as well as the practice of female genital mutilation of women in the Daudi Bohra community, among other similar issues. The court has referred to a 7-judge bench over 60 petitions seeking review of its 2018 judgment, where it allowed women of all ages entry into Sabarimala. The bench will re-examine various religious issues, including the entry of women into mosques and the practice of female genital mutilation in the Daudi Bohra community. While the 5-judge bench unanimously agreed to refer the religious issues to a larger bench, it gave a 3-2 split decision on petitions seeking a review of the Apex Court's September 2018 decision. A majority verdict by Chief Justice Ranjan Gogoi and Justices A.M. Khanvilkar and Indu Malhotra decided to keep pending the pleas seeking a review of its decision regarding the entry of women into the shrine, and said restrictions on women in religious places was not restricted to Sabarimala alone and was prevalent in other religions as well. However, the majority verdict did not say anything adverse against the Apex Court's September 28, 2018 decision allowing women to enter the shrine, nor did it stay the earlier judgment. There is no clarity whether women can enter the shrine, which is scheduled to open for worship from November 17. Writing for himself and Justices A.M. Khanvilkar and Indu Malhotra, CJI Gogoi sounded a word of caution while referring the issues to a larger bench of 7 judges. In a legal framework where the courts do not have an epistolary jurisdiction and issues pertaining to religion, including religious practices, are decided in exercise of jurisdiction under Section 9 of the Civil Procedure Code or Article 226/32 of the Constitution, the courts should tread cautiously. This is time-honored principle and practice, said the judgment. The majority view therefore clearly expressed that while a constitutional court may exercise its jurisdiction in a public interest litigation to issue orders in religious matters or resort to the Civil Procedure Code to assume jurisdiction in such matters, there is a convention that courts must be guarded and careful. And House of Representatives Speaker Nancy Pelosi said on Thursday, President Donald Trump already has admitted to bribery in the Ukraine scandal at the heart of a Democratic-led inquiry, accusing him of an impeachable offense under the U.S. Constitution. The bribe is to grant or withhold military assistance in return for a public statement of a fake investigation into the elections. That's bribery, Pelosi, the top Democrat in Congress, told a news conference the day after the first public hearing in the impeachment inquiry she announced in September. What the president has admitted to and says it's perfect, I say it's perfectly wrong. It's bribery, Pelosi said. Democrats are looking into whether Trump abused his power by withholding $391 million in U.S. security aid to Ukraine as leverage to pressure Kiev to conduct two investigations that would benefit him politically. The money approved by the U.S. Congress to help a U.S. ally combat Russia-backed separatists in the eastern part of the country was later provided to Ukraine. Trump has denied any wrongdoing. Another central figure, former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Mary Yovanovitch, is due to testify today in the second public hearing in the inquiry. If the House approves articles of impeachment against Trump, the Senate would then hold a trial on whether to convict him of the charges and remove him from office. Republicans control the Senate and have shown little support for Trump's removal. India entered the second day of the first test against Bangladesh in a dominant position today after Mohammad Shami's prodigious reverse swing and Ravichandran Ashwin's guile broke the backbone of the visitors' batting as they were bundled out for 150 on the first day in Indore. Speaking at the end of the day's play, ace spinner Ashwin said that the Indian pacers have been bowling really well in recent times and it looks like something is going to happen every time they have the ball in their hands. In fact, the first session was completely dominated by speedsters Mohammad Shami, Ishant Sharma and Umesh Yadav. They have been in some great rhythm. Sometimes you feel something's happening in every spell they are bowling, or at least they make it happen. Shami, Umesh and Ishant have been bowling well as a pack. Add Bumrah to it and it becomes one of the most lethal pace bowling attacks in the world, he said. Ashwin also felt that it was indeed a brave decision for Bangladesh skipper Mominul Haq to bat first, as the Indians were expecting the visitors to bowl as the surface had life on it. I thought it was a very brave decision. We expected them to bowl first, but they batted. However, the way they batted was commendable. Few of their batsmen played well. It is never easy to bat on a surface which is life and which is damp, and I thought Mominul and some of them batted well, he said. The off-spinner himself had a few catches dropped off his bowling, but that didn't stop him from picking up his 250th test wicket on home soil. Ashwin dismissed Haq to reach the milestone in the post-lunch session. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again next week with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Have a very good day and a great weekend.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.